Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we're previewing the Belgium GP as the summer break is nearing its end. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Virgil. Hello everyone to episode 51 of the Fast Lab podcast. Yes, we are close to our 1 year anniversary and we've got something special planned for that, so stay tuned. Anyway, the summer break is nearly over, the Belgium GP is coming up, and what a track it is to start the second half of the season. Spa is really one of my favorite tracks, and we've seen many great races over the past years. So same for you, Fergal, favorite, one of your favorite tracks on the calendar?
Yeah, on the calendar, it's 100% my favorite track. I'm not too sure if it's my favorite track altogether. But it's definitely up there with one of the best in the world. And in terms of the F1 calendar, it's definitely my favorite. It's, you know, it has everything. It has it's really, really high speed. And then it has that middle sector that requires good downforce, which makes, of course, the whole weekend very tricky for engineers who have to try and set the car up to make sure the car is quick in both areas, both in straight line speed, and through the corners. It's a challenge as much for the engineers and the mechanics as it is for the drivers.
And I'm really looking forward to, what's the corner called? Pouin? I think it's
Pouin. Pouin. Yeah.
Yeah, the double left-hander. I mean, we had the 2010 years and 2013, I think they had a lot of downforce, but even then, they were not able to get that corner full throttle. I think this year, in qualifying, they'll do it full throttle, right?
Ooh, and that'll be interesting. I'm not too sure if they'll be able to do a full trial.
I hope it's going to be like you have to get the corner really, you have to get the entry to the corner really perfectly just to get it full throttle. That would be awesome, so that it's a bit of a challenge, you know. I think what's the old turn one in Silverstone, is that Cops?
The old turn Cops, yeah.
Yeah, I think in qualifying there they were flat, and I think it was quite easily flat. And I hope that's not the case in Pouin. I hope it's a bit more challenging, and maybe, as you said, it isn't even flat. But with downforce increase from the last years, I would guess it is full throttle.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting aspect for this year. I think maybe for the lower end cars and the, well, I don't want to say backmarkers really, because there is no backmarkers. Well, maybe Sauber a little bit, but you know, the midfield cars, I think some of them will struggle to get through it full throttle if it can be done. I'd be very surprised if we've seen all the cars do it, but perhaps some of the top guys like Mercedes or Ferrari could do it. But when you compare it to Cops, I mean, I think Pouin is a much more challenging corner because it kind of just keeps going. I mean, Cops is sort of, you know, you just swing it one way and you kind of just go in a straight line, I guess. I mean, it's still very challenging, but Pouin just sort of, yeah, keeps going. It's a pretty long corner, but it's taken at such a high speed. So it'll be a very, very, scary part of the track for the driver, but of course it'll be very exciting for them. And then, yeah, I think even the final sector has always really been taken flat out in recent years, I think.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't be a problem this time around. And then, yeah, arguably the most famous corner in Formula One, Eau Rouge, which starts at turn 3 on the calendar.
Yeah, won't be challenging at all with those cars.
No, it'll be very easy to get through there.
Yeah.
I mean, the G forces that they're going to be pulling this year will be phenomenal through their corner.
Just to make that clear, I wasn't kidding. I mean, it will be really easy for them, full throttle.
Well, yeah, in a way, it'll be easy for them. But I mean, if they lose the car through Eau Rouge, I mean, it's the same as every year. If they lose the car through Eau Rouge, it'll be disaster. But they'll be going so much quicker that I think the drivers will just be that bit more careful and wary.
I don't think so. I mean, we've seen them going through a full throttle for a couple of years now, and now they've got more track, which means less top speed and more downforce. So I think it will be very easy.
Yeah, but I guess more downforce with that comes with more, you know, you have more grip. But we've already seen this year when the car gets away from you, it's so difficult. It's near on impossible to recover the car. We seen last year a huge accident for Kevin Magnussen at the top of Eau Rouge, where we seen him just lose the car. And I mean, I don't think if you lose the car through Eau Rouge, that's not really the fact that you can't bring it back under control. That won't be a factor of the 2017 cars. It's kind of always been like that.
Yeah, losing a car in high speed is never a good idea.
Yeah, and I mean, and physically, the corner will be pretty tough. They'll of course be pulling much more G forces this year.
The whole track, Pouhon, all the corners. Yeah.
But yeah, Eau Rouge in particular, because the compression on that corner is just unbelievable, and the speeds that they're taking through there. But I don't think it'll be easy. But it'll be, a bit scary. I think I'd rather they did it than me.
Yeah, I mean, it's our unqualified opinion from here, but we'll see it. I mean, that's why we are looking forward to that track. A lot of great corners, and of course the second half of the season is beginning, and the fight between Hamilton, Bottas and Vettel, I would guess we have to talk about only those three for the rest of the season. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, but I think that's going to be the big focus. And Spa, I would guess, is more of a Mercedes track, but of course we never know. Sometimes Ferrari is quick out of the blue. In Silverstone, kind of similar quick corners, some straights, of course not as high speed as Spa. Ferrari was not on the pace of Mercedes. So how do you see, of course we don't know what upgrades they bring over the summer break, but from what we've seen in the early part of the season, I would guess Mercedes should have the upper hand in Spa.
Yeah, I think so. I think Mercedes go into the weekend pretty much favourites. It wouldn't really make sense to give any other team the spot for favourite to take the spoils there. But most if not all teams will be bringing upgrades to Spa.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mercedes are favourite. Their car pretty much just suits the track. Who knows, Ferrari could give them a challenge. I think that's sort of been, a pretty common trait this year of the two cars has been that I think the Mercedes car has been overall that bit faster than the Ferrari. But it's just been less consistent, and I think the Ferrari pretty much from track to track, it doesn't really have a weak track. It's pretty much strong in all tracks, whereas like Mercedes, for example, could be stronger than Ferrari at some particular tracks, and then at some other circuits they'll completely fall away, like we saw at Monaco. Or I think Mercedes are also I'm hearing that they're very worried about the Singapore Grand Prix that's coming up, because they think that their car will be not very suited to that track at all. But I mean, in terms of the Spa circuit, I don't really see why Mercedes should encounter any problems at that track. So yeah, I would tip them to be favorites.
And one team I think we shouldn't forget about is the Red Bull team. I mean, they fixed their correlation issues they had with the wind tunnel and on and what happened on tracks, and I think they showed the best improvement, the best development over over the first half of the season, judging from the distance between them and P1, I would guess. And now they had the whole summer break to work on new parts. Of course, it's like, yeah, everybody shuts the factory down whatsoever, but I'm pretty sure all the designers, I don't know, they've got some kind of home office to do more work on design stuff, and I'm pretty sure everybody is working on their car in the summer break. So yeah, I wouldn't count them out for a good result in Spa. We've seen it, funnily enough, we've seen it last year. Normally you wouldn't say that Spa is a track where Red Bull would normally perform well. It's a power sensitive track, but somehow with all the fast corners, Red Bull isn't as bad as you would expect. So maybe they can surprise us this year again. And I heard an interview with Christian Horner where he said that they target to outscore Ferrari in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I heard that too. So yeah, maybe Red Bull can surprise us like they surprised us in 2014 when Daniel Ricciardo won the race. Yeah. But of course, he sort of, yeah, the Mercedes, the two Mercedes got into a bit of trouble that day. But
Nico hit me.
Yeah. Were you going to say something?
No, was just repeating the radio, like, oh, Nico hit me, he hit me.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was, I guess, that was sort of the start of the Lewis Nico saga, yeah, that gripped us all for years. But yeah, I mean, Red Bull, yeah, I think it would be sort of foolish to count them out so early on, because I think we'd have to wait and see. I think if I remember correctly, last year, I think pretty much throughout the whole weekend, Mercedes were on top, but through the middle sector, I think it was like Verstappen, I think, was like consecutively setting purple sectors in the middle sector. He was going purple, I believe, or maybe it was Ricciardo, but I remember the Red Bull being showing some pace there last year. So yeah, perhaps they'll be able to get a result this time, but I think something that will hurt them is Renault. Now we know Renault have made, you know, somewhat of an improvement since the start of the year, but I guess they're still quite a way off Ferrari and Mercedes in terms of peak power. And I mean, I'm not sure how much that will affect them this time around, but yeah, I mean, for me, it's the more teams that are in the fight, the better. And
of course,
I would be very surprised if Red Bull ended up, you know, getting a win out of the weekend. I'm not really expecting that at all, but yeah, I don't think we should really count them out of a podium finish. And yeah, I mean, what Christian Horner was saying about them being able to outscore Ferrari in the second half of the season, I mean, it really depends on how much Red Bull are still developing their car and when they start to shift all their focus onto the next car. So that will be yeah, very intense for both teams, I think. But yeah,
I think
we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I think one target for Red Bull should be to actually finish races. I think they've got the least amount of laps of any team in the first half of the season. Is that correct? I think so.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen that stat for a few races, but I know a few races ago that was right.
Yeah, and coming back to their pace last year, I just looked it up. Verstappen was P P2 with just 1.5 tenths of Rosberg, and on such a long track as Spa is, I think that was a pretty good performance last year. And who knows what happens this year. I'm really excited to find out. But yeah, not only the big three teams are working over the summer break, I think smaller teams or the midfield teams are also planning to bring some updates to Spa. Who do you think will come out on top of them? Who might maybe jump ahead and be best of the rest? Renault, maybe, with all their new hirings they're present to us, or maybe Toro Rosso, whoever.
Yeah, I think, well, in theory, you gotta shout for Force India to really be the fourth best team there. I know Haas are planning on bringing some pretty big upgrades to both Spa and then Monza, which comes after the Belgian Grand Prix. So yeah, I think, in my opinion, I think Force India will probably come out on top. We've seen Renault sort of, yeah, they've improved somewhat over the season. I think they haven't improved nowhere near as good as Red Bull have, but behind Red Bull, I think Renault have probably made the most improvements in terms of overall pace. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that the car is a bit inconsistent. But yeah, I don't really see them either getting a amazing result. But I think that's a great thing about the midfield pack. It's so hard to predict. Even today, I did an article about Gunther Steiner, how he was saying that each race weekend it's Haas on top, the next weekend it's Renault, and the next it's McLaren. You they don't know, which is pretty exciting in my book. But yeah, in terms of best of the rest, I do think that Force India will come out on top.
Yeah, and as your voice is crackling up a bit, let's talk about Honda engines, maybe. Yeah, not a good joke. But anyway, we heard some rumors that Honda might team up with Toro Rosso for next season. You even said in our driver prediction episode that yeah, it might be a good idea for Red Bull to see what competitors are doing. So now the deal is off the table. Actually, do you know why, or wasn't it even a possibility in the beginning? What's your knowledge on that?
Well, I think the reason for the deal to be cancelled was it was basically taking too long to come to an agreement. So and Toro Rosso really needed to sort their engine plans for next year. Well, of course, they already have a plan for next year. They have a contract with Renault for next year. And yeah, I think Red Bull were interested in the Honda deal because they would be able to monitor what the progress was that Honda were making at Toro Rosso. And then if they ended up being competitive, then Red Bull could opt out of their Renault deal, which I believe they do want to. I think the top guys at Red Bull sort of feel that they're not going to win a championship again with Renault engines, which sort of makes sense, I guess, now that Renault are back as a works team. Red Bull is no longer the center point for their development. You know, the Renault works team is going to be. I think it's a bit of a shame that the deal didn't go through, because I think it would have had some benefits. Maybe not so much in the short term, it depends how much Honda improve for next season, but definitely in the long term. I mean, I don't expect Honda to be a manufacturer that can't produce a competitive engine forever. I think in the next few years they should produce something, you know, somewhat competitive. So yeah, I think it's a bit of a shame.
That's what we are saying for 3 years now.
yeah, true. But yeah, I think it's a bit sad that it didn't go through, because it would have added an extra element for Red Bull. So yeah, what do you think?
I don't really have a strong opinion on that. I mean, if I was in Toro Rosso's shoes, I would stay with the Renault engine just to have to have the technology transfer from Red Bull Technologies, you know, that they've got all the gearbox stuff and everything that goes with the engine mappings and so on. And yeah, I would stay with Renault, and I think they made the right decision to focus on next year's car. They know what they've got in the back of the car, they can design the car around it. So in my opinion, it's not a big deal that the deal is off, and yeah, it will be interesting to see what Honda is doing long term. Of course, they were in talks with two teams, Toro Rosso and Sauber. Both deals fell through, so they are stuck with one team again for next year. Of course, it hampers them in terms of developing the engine. More cars on track means more data for them. But yeah, and also it's kind of a strategic maneuver to have more cars with their engine on the grid to have more power in terms of voting for stuff and so on. So yeah, will be interesting to see how that pans out in the future. But yeah, before we go to the future, let's talk about our podium predictions for next Sunday. Summer break flew past quite quickly, actually. So yeah, what do you think? Who will be on the podium in Belgium in Spa?
Well, like I said before, it's sort of a track that you'd want to favor the Mercedes. So yeah, I'm going to go for a Mercedes win anyway. And I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton to win. Yeah, I think he'll come out on top. I don't expect Ferrari to be too far off. And Kimi Raikkonen, of course, I'm pretty sure he's the most successful guy of the current drivers around Spa in terms of race wins and podiums. So, but I think his form this year just hasn't been consistent enough. So I'm going to put Vettel in P2 and then Bottas P3. So Hamilton P1, Vettel second, and Bottas third.
Interesting. I agree with you. I think Mercedes will be strong in Belgium. And I put also Hamilton in P1. I think Hamilton is really strong in Spa. He showed that over the years. So Hamilton P1, Bottas P2, so Mercedes 1-2 will be a good race for them, a track made for their car. But P3, I will not go with Ferrari. I go for Verstappen. Of course, he will have huge support in Spa. I think there are a lot of fans will come with all their orange hats, and I mean, we've seen it last year. Even last year it was crazy how many orange flags and t-shirts and caps were in the stands. It was really great to see, to have so many fans in the grandstands really supporting Verstappen. And I think it could be even more today, and it will give him a boost. And as I said, in last year's qualifying he showed great pace, only a few tenths away of the Mercedes cars. And yeah, I think he could get a podium with an improved Red Bull, or maybe their upgrade package works well in Spa. So yeah, Hamilton, Bottas, and Red Bull. And those are our podium predictions for this weekend's race. And I think that's a good point to wrap up this episode, right? All right, so I hope you do enjoy. I think we had a bit of a delay there, but yeah, I hope you will enjoy the race on Sunday. I think we might see more overtaking moves compared to other tracks, so that's definitely a good thing. And yeah, I think we can look forward to that. And I can only say thank you for listening, and see you next time for our 1-year anniversary. Until then, goodbye.